Listening to Linda and Brenda and Danny made me tearful. I've just had the exact same experience. I had a home birth with my third in February, a boy after two girls as well. And it was absolutely incredible. Couldn't recommend it enough for those who are thinking about it, says that person. Now, Samantha Rawson is our dog expert and she's on the line. How are you doing, Samantha?
Hi, Ray.
Good to talk to you.
You too, long time.
Yeah. Are you in good form?
I'm in great form.
Right. So we know anecdotally, and I think from statistics as well, that a lot of people have got new puppies during lockdown and indeed rescue dogs.
Yeah, indeed.
Are you finding that in your work?
I am. I'm very busy at the moment, thank God. I don't know if it's good for the dogs per se, but it's good for me.
Right. Before we get into the questions, just I was reading that story over the weekend, that lady who all her puppies were robbed from her. And I was thinking, how would somebody know if the puppy they were getting was robbed or not? Or would they?
They wouldn't necessarily, but it's like anything, Ray. If people have nothing to hide, they hide nothing. So I would always ask for a receipt or see if I could pay through bank transfer.
Aha, right.
So if they're not prepared to do that, you know, then I wouldn't be dealing with them in the first place.
If they were insisting on cash,
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay, that's good advice. Okay, let's get to them then. We have a good few to get through. For your dog expert, that'd be you, Samantha. We got a puppy 10 days ago. He was very quiet the first few days, but now is nipping everyone, in particular my 10-year-old daughter, quite bad. And the kids are getting very nervous of him. He's nearly 10 weeks old. What's the best way to train him not to nip people? Please help.
He should always be on a lead or under control when the children are around.
Right.
So puppies will be playing with other puppies, so they'll be swinging out of each other with their litter mates. So then they come into your family and think they can do the same thing. So they don't know that your children are not little puppies to run around with. So they need to learn two social rules. One is with people and one is with dogs. So they've already learned the first one. So now they're just kind of doing their language, but they're doing it on people. So I would keep the puppy on a lead so you, as the adult, have a means to control it.
For how long? And you know, if they attempt to nip, even when they're on the lead, what do you do?
Well, I would remove the dog and I would try and have lots of toys and stuff to distract the puppy with, to say it's okay to put your mouth on toys, but not on my children.
Okay, rightio. Good luck with that. I have a 10-month-old cockapoo who doesn't stop barking in the car when we're going for a walk. I have him in the boot, separated by bars in my car. My husband leaves him in the front seat in his car. It doesn't matter how long or short the journey is, he barks all the time. I have a toy in the car for him, but it doesn't work. Veronica.
Too much stimulation, Veronica. He can see the outside and everything outside is moving, so it's doubly exciting.
Ah.
So really, if you want a dog to be calm in a car, you need to, a bit like racehorses, you need to block what they can see. So maybe a dog crate in the boot of the car where he can safely travel without stimulation.
You see, I think that's counterintuitive, because I would think that if they're in a darkened place, that's a bit cruel.
No, because, you know, it's crueler to let a dog do something and then give out to him for doing it if you can prevent it in the first place.
Right, fair enough. You're a rock of sense, Samantha Ross.
Thank you, Ray.
Right, okay. So keep them in the dark, really, about where you're going.
But also, you know, dogs are family dogs, and you might have the dog with you while you're going shopping, but you need to drop something into a friend and you're going to open the boot or open the car door. It's just an accident waiting to happen. So I much rather see dogs in crates and cars.
Okay. That's for you, Veronica. Now, Brendan has been on. He says, I believe that because of the demand for puppies as a result of COVID, the price of dogs has gone through the woof.
Yeah, the woof, yeah.
The woof. That's just, I'm just sharing that with you. Has it gone through the roof?
It has, yeah. But again, my kind of mantra is that price is indication of the morality of the person selling the dog.
Okay.
So if the price seems extortionate, they only care about money, not the dog. If the price is reasonable, you are maybe dealing with a reasonable person. So if you're talking, you know, extortionate amounts of money, walk away. That's not a nice person.
Yeah. I got my puppy the weekend and I'm off work this week to try and settle him in, but I'm back to work Tuesday. That's next Tuesday after the bank holiday. I work school hours, so he's not on his own too long, but I'm still scared to leave him. Any advice? Thanks.
Try and teach him to be on his own, maybe in a crate or a restricted area or wherever you're going to put him while you potter around the place. The biggest mistake people make with puppies is they let them follow them everywhere. So it's really to teach the puppy, you can't follow me, you can see me, but you can't follow me, and then you can slowly disappear out of the room or up to the bathroom or wherever for short periods of time. But it's really crucial not to allow them to follow you everywhere.
That dog agrees with you anyway on your advice. I've adopted a stray, approximately 1 year old Jack Russell mix. He's not the biggest pet, but was so aggressive. We've got him neutered, are working on socialising him, but bringing him everywhere we can and distracting him with treats when we meet other dogs. Problem is, he can blow out at any time and goes into a tizzy of aggression. It's like he goes into a subconscious state of aggression and is difficult. He comes around quickly, but cannot be trusted as he snaps when he's like this. Any advice greatly appreciated, Deirdre.
Distract and diffuse, Deirdre, is all I can say. If you could let him off the lead, if it was possible to maybe exercise him and run the legs off him or play ball with him in the garden before you bring him out, and then instead of walking him, just sit somewhere at a distance and let him take it all in. It's very hard for a dog to process if they're moving and the other dogs are moving. So I would bring him out and just sit on a park bench and let him see dogs and people, but they're not all coming directly for him.
That's interesting. So when you're walking a dog and there's another dog coming towards it, what's going on in his head or her head, the dog's head?
Well, the other dog is coming head on, and then your dog is on a lead, so they can't get out of the way, they can't make themselves invisible. So, you know, all of us, if we feel threatened, we will try and be invisible. But that's really hard if you're on a lead and your owner's dragging you down the road.
Yes.
So I would always suggest that you take dogs out of the area and instead of bringing them for a walk, just let them process. Bring them to a park and put them at a distance, a safe distance, and see, you need to figure out what is the trigger point for the dog, what is the distance that sets them off.
Okay. That's for you, Deirdre. Can I get some advice on how to groom a large dog who doesn't like being groomed? He will just about cope with being brushed by us, but washing or cutting is out of the question. He has matting that needs removing, but he won't let us near. Help.
I think I would send him to a professional groomer who knows what they're doing and who deal with dogs like that every day of the week.
Are they open again?
Some of them are, and I think you might get an appointment under welfare grounds. You'd need to. It depends on where you are and the groomer themselves.
Is there some sort of way around it, as you can go to your vet and get a recommendation?
Yeah. Because if a dog is heavily matted, then that's obviously a welfare issue.
Yes.
And grooming kind of, you know, uncovers all sorts of issues or medical issues that might be under the skin, literally.
Right.
And a groomer will find that.
We have a Labrador who constantly scratches and drags himself along the stones, gravel in our garden. We've spent a fortune going to vets and paying for antibiotics for a skin infection and antihistamines, but still he scratches even after the course of prescribed medication has ended. He doesn't have fleas. Please help. What can we do? We're at our wit's end.
If he's dragging his bum on the ground, that might indicate to me anal glands.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a vet and I have no veterinary qualifications, but that would suggest anal glands to me.
Yeah, we had one of those. It's not a pleasant sight to witness.
But also, it's a natural thing because they know how to clean their own bums. So
yes, yeah.
You know.
Okay, so maybe it might be anal glands there.
Yeah.
Any advice on how to stop a dog biting and tugging on a lead? We're on our third lead. She is a year and a half. Does not do it all the time, but when she does, would pull the arm off you.
Give her another lead to hold or give her something else to hold. She wants to say tug.
See, it's so simple. It's so straightforward when you hear it.
It is when you know how, right?
So give her a bit of one of the old leads.
Yeah, give her another lead. Don't keep buying new ones.
Yeah.
Or else get a little lead with a chain bit on the end of it. You know, you can get kind of half leather, half chain. So maybe a chain towards the collar end or towards her mouth. So that's what she bites.
Right.
It's not as comfortable.
Okay. We have a puppy. She's with us for 4 weeks now. She's 12 weeks old. She will ring the bell to poo outside but continues to pee inside and will always do it when I leave the room. Any suggestions? So the pooing is working but the peeing isn't.
Okay, keep a record. And dogs will pee sometimes if they're anxious, so I wouldn't be leaving the room. If you're going to leave the room, pop her back in her area.
Oh, you see, there you go. It's separation anxiety.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily. It's just a little bit of puppy anxiety. But, you know, and also keep a record. I always say to owners, keep a journal. So you know, if the dog has pooed at 4:15, then maybe you need to bring her out at 4:30. So or peed rather, because puppies will pee an incredible amount and people don't realise how much they pee. They literally pee kind of every 20 minutes.
Do they pee before they poo or poo after they pee or whatever?
They pee a hell of a lot more than they poo, but they poo, young puppies will poo nearly instantly after they've been fed.
Yeah.
So pooing can be more predictable than peeing.
Okay.
But you need to keep a journal and keep a record of it.
Keep a pee and poo journal. Right. Samantha, thank you so much.
You won't leave me down anyway, Ray. I'm not going there.
We didn't get to talk about Leitrim County Council trying to get the DNA from dog poo and get saliva samples from the local dogs and match them up. We'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah, next time maybe.
Samantha Rawson, thank you very much. Thank you. That's our dog expert there, Samantha. And we will have Samantha on again if we didn't get to your query today. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.